DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettillier along with Charlie Long running things behind the scenes. And it's Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next day delivery throughout South Louisiana. Got the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Summerall. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Hope all is well.
Coach, not everything is perfect in life, but if I listen to my texters, I don't know where they work, but I'd like to find a job there. There are certain things that happen that, I mean, bottom line is you want to win. You did this past weekend against South Alabama, but, you know, that was some things to start the game. You fell behind quickly. Well, your team showed some fight, and then the fourth quarter, it was tight. It was really, really tight there. I think just sometimes in a game like that, maybe focus wasn't the right term to use, but sometimes after playing that opener and what you put into going against Northwestern, it's maybe not quite there in game two. We saw the same thing happen when LSU played Louisiana Tech, and Brian Kelly said almost the exact same thing, too, about, hey, listen, I'll focus, and we got to do a better job of coaching, getting them ready. But it is something of human nature that does happen in those type situations. Not taken away from South Alabama. They did their best there, but sometimes that first game does take a little bit of edge off.
Yeah, you know, there's no bad wins, but there's definitely some ugly ones. We won ugly a little bit. We spotted the other team 14 points pretty early. I mean, 7 minutes and 50 seconds into the game, you look up and we're down 14-0. The first drive, they executed really well, and we didn't. And the second drive, we just kind of a DB sort of got off balance and sort of stumbled almost and gave up a long touchdown pass that, you know, it's hard to make a play when you're not under control with your balance and your body. And so you look up, we're down 14-0, and then we go on a 33-3 run the next 40-something minutes of the game. I mean, we really kind of controlled the flow of the game after that for quite a while. And in the last 7.5, 8 minutes of the game, we kind of got a little sloppy again. And you know, the frustrating part of it was in week one, we played really clean football in regards to just procedural stuff, operating from line of scrimmage, nothing dumb penalty-wise, and we committed too many penalties. We didn't play as clean procedurally, and you know, you can't beat anybody until you don't beat yourselves. We tried to beat ourselves some, but, you know, the nice thing is we're able to learn hopefully some of these lessons that we didn't do well and still get a win. You know, in the post-game locker room, I asked the team, I said, guys, was that our best tonight? And they all said no. And I said, well, I'm glad you realize it, because it wasn't. And we've got to be better. To be able to win and not be at your best is a good thing. But we, with the gauntlet we got coming up schedule-wise here in front of us now, we're going to have to play a heck of a lot better to get any sort of desired outcome.
Coach, you brought up that you, after the 14-0 deficit, you got with your position coaches and said, hey, listen, got to get our groups ready. And so, you know, yeah, talent, it's great to have it, but also two coaching matters. And I think getting them sort of reset. And you saw that run that your team made afterwards. And so I think that's a part of coaching a lot of times people don't get, is making sure that your unit is doing their job. Just do your job. Don't do too much, because a lot of times if you try too much, you know, in doing, you get yourself in trouble. But I thought it was interesting that you relied on your coaches to kind of compartmentalize this to get this team back reset.
Yeah, you know, the first thing there in game, I went on the headset and told all the coaches, go look your position group in the eye. Go look them all in the eye. Sit down with them and just tell them, like, ask them, hey, what is our foundation? Like, what are we built on? What are we about? All right. And so, you know, and we've got core values in this program that are more than just words on a wall. And so I asked them, like, hey, what's our foundation? What are we built on? We know what we're built on. We're built on having a great attitude, being tough, playing with discipline, and loving getting the opportunity to go play. And I said, man, let's look like that. Because right now we hadn't. Let's look like that from here on. And so, you know, we weathered that storm early, and our kids did respond. The coaches did a good job on the sideline of kind of steadying them. And then, you know, to your point about just doing your job, it's funny you brought that up because that's sort of been my theme all week this week. I'm like, guys, last week it seemed like we were worried about maybe doing too much. Like, don't worry about trying to win the game on a play or doing something special. Just do your job really well. If you do that over and over and over again, then you look up and usually good things have happened.
Coach, elephant in the room, certainly, and this is going to happen for every program. You lose a top player like you did in this offseason with your starting quarterback, Darian Mensah, going to Duke. And I guess the best way to put it, it's almost like, you know, you dating and you're going out with somebody. And, you know, things going good for a while, and then you break up and they're going out with somebody else. But that's part of life that you got to move on. And in the current state that college athletics is today, that's going to be the norm. I mean, you're going to have players leaving here and there and going up against their other teams. But I think, you know, one thing I give Hebert a lot of credit for, he said, Mike, quarterback trumps every position out on the field. It's going to get talked about more than anything. You get way too much credit when you win. You get way too much blame when you lose. And in this sort of spot, I think you said it best that, hey, he led us and really helped us win a lot of games last year. Okay, I'm not thrilled that he left, but there's nothing you could have done about that. And so you have to move on at that point in life. And I do think that that's certainly going to be kind of headline news, no matter who's covering this game is going to be because, you know, Mensah's coming back here to play the Green Wave.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a big storyline in a lot of people's eyes in the game is Darian's return. And look, I've said this, you know, many times publicly and privately. I don't care if you've played one snap, 100 snaps, or 1,000 snaps for me. If I've coached you, I'm going to love all my players forever. Right? And that doesn't mean maybe I love that they left or whatever. Like, that doesn't have to be the case either. But I love Darian. I care about him. Enjoyed coaching him. You know, wish him success. Obviously, we want to win on Saturday, and he's the quarterback on the other team now, and that's the world we live in. And so, but it's not one player versus our team. It's their team versus our team. And so I think, you know, from a coach's perspective, yeah, we have to scout whoever the quarterback is and know, hey, here's what they do well, here's their strengths, and try to be prepared for the issues they present. But this is not, and from a coach's perspective, this is no sort of like a revenge game or a, because if you do that, you're not going to be focused on doing your job at a high level, you know? And so that's where you get kind of maybe sideways. If you focus on things that have nothing to do with you actually performing, preparing the right way. And so look, a lot of obvious things there in that storyline, but it's Duke versus Tulane. It's not their quarterback versus Tulane. And I'm grateful for what Darian did here. You know, going back, did everything we could try to do to keep him. Wasn't able to, and that's the world we live in.
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach, you're kind of scouting report of this Duke Blue Devil squad. I mean, I watched them play Illinois and, you know, the number 11 team in the country. And like the final score, 45-19, I don't think it's really indicative of how close that game was, at least in the first half. Duke did what Northwestern did when you played them at Yulman last week, right? Where 5 turnovers to 0, minus 5 in the turnover differential. I mean, that's just a death knell for any team, regardless of who you're playing, much less the number 11 team in the country. Just want to get your scouting report of Duke as a squad and what you kind of see and what stands out about them.
Yeah, well, you know, defensively, I think their defensive line is really, really good. They're twitchy, they're long, they're physical, they play with some violence. They stick out as an elite position group, and then the receivers are phenomenal players. They got four guys that I think are high-level starters. This little slot receiver, number 7, they got a transfer, number 18, who's a big-time player. They got a transfer that's been at Michigan and Oklahoma, number 1, and then another kid that starts for him, number 2. So all the receivers, the throw game, I think, is challenging. And then obviously Darian's done a good job throwing a football. And like you did hit on, the turnovers got them. Really, they were minus 5 in the turnover margin, and one of those being a muff punt, 2 fumbles, and an interception. And then they also had three fumbles and then an interception and a muff punt. And then they also had on punt return a penalty that extended the drive for Illinois. That doesn't show up in a turnover margin per se, but they had 2 guys with the same jersey number on the field, which was a penalty. So that extended a 6th drive or gave the ball back another time. And you're not going to win doing that. Really, for most of the game, they controlled the flow of the game. The whole first half, they were out rushing Illinois and really creating a lot of negative plays for Illinois. I thought they outplayed Illinois the first part of the game. Illinois just played clean and didn't beat themselves. And really didn't do anything maybe exceptional or unique. They just kind of stayed the course. And it's hard to win when you have that turnover margin. It's a really good football team, a really talented team. When you saw them playing at their best last week, man, they were impressive. And we got our work cut out for us. They're a really good opponent.
Coach, I know Illinois' quarterback pretty well. This Altmaier kid, he's from Mississippi. Yep. Coach O was trying to recruit him to go to LSU. He goes to Ole Miss. He ends up at Illinois, and he's not one of these guys that'll knock your socks off if you're watching him throw, but he's a winner. There is something about that, that you're a winner, and that he is at a pretty high level. You brought up today about the fact that the crowd. You think that this is a situation to have, you know, a huge crowd there at Yeoman to get these team fired up and to have the crowd behind them. And I think a lot of times, too, to have that 12th man out there and what it can create for an opposing quarterback, just from a sound standpoint of you trying to call plays, trying to adjust or whatever it is, you put that as a big emphasis this week when you're going to play Duke.
Yeah, I think we need to have a great environment. I mean, look, we've got an ACC opponent coming to town who's won 9 games in the season twice in the last 3 years. It should be a great turnout. They should give us it should be a great home field advantage. It should be an environment that's fun to play in. It's got some electricity and needs to be able to make some noise and have an impact on the game. And there's no reason why we shouldn't have a really good turnout to support this team and give these guys an opportunity to be successful.
Coach, when you went back and look at the film, was there a couple players there that – sometimes during the game you're so focused on other things, but then when you watch the film, there's a couple guys that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, I think defensively on the D-line, Santana Hopper played at a high level. I thought offensively Bryce Bohannon played at a high level. You're talking about our team, right?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, Bryce Bohannon in the last game offensively I thought played really clean and did some good things. And then in the kicking game, I thought Anthony Brown Stevens, our kick returner last week, he had a 40-yard return, did some really good things. And there were several other guys that played good, but those are the three that come to mind in all three phases that I thought maybe played well above maybe what the standard is to give us a chance to win.
With having a couple transfer quarterbacks in the lineup, and that is a growth process. And you and I spoke about this last week. I really think Game 3 is where you make that big jump from 2 to 3, because now you've gotten a little bit under your belt. Your offensive line has played as a unit together, your defensive line, and you play a 3-man front, but you rotate 10 guys. Everybody kind of knowing what they have to do. The progress there with your 2 young quarterbacks that you were able to bring in as transfer guys.
Yeah, I think they're both got their feet underneath them now. I mean, you know, Brendan got the first real meaningful snaps in the game last week and did a nice job with them. And Jake, obviously, has started the last 2 weeks and done some good things, but, you know, he's only been here for a little over a month and a half. Like, he's very new to this environment. And I think you're right. You know, we've talked about this before, but, you know, the NFL, you get your preseason games. College, we don't have any preseason games. So some of these early non-conference games that we're in right now, they count for permanent on the record. But some of it you're trying to figure out, all right, who are we a little bit? Like, what is this team about? And while you're doing it, you want to win the game, but you also got to learn about your team. And I'm learning that both these quarterbacks, we can win with both of them in a game. I like the way they lead. I like the way they play. They both got mental toughness about them. And really, really enthusiastic about the direction we can go with them leading us.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always love when you come on. And I got to tell you, man, you give it to people straight. And I think they respect that. That's not a lot of BS in all this because, you know, some of these coaches' shows, it's almost like cliche. Man, you come on, you tell it like it is.
Well, my wife would tell you, you know, my greatest strength's also my greatest weakness. I'm brutally honest, all right? So I ain't got no two other ways. I just one way, and it's straight up.
Thank you, Coach. Hey, we appreciate that. Thank you so much. And good luck this Saturday against Duke.
Thank y'all. Roll wave.
Thanks, Coach.
All righty. The head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. Our Tulane Tuesday is brought to you by Fleet Supply Warehouse, providing wholesale distribution with next-day delivery throughout South Louisiana.
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.